Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This morning, as we worship God, let us remember the daughter of Cleveland Duke and his wife, Davita Duke. She has been hospitalized at Chapel Hill, suffering a relapse in her bout of leukemia. May we pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, thou who dost seek us before we seek thee, thou who dost seek us when we flee from thee, thou who dost help us when we seek after thee. Upon thy holy name we call with confidence and joy as we gather in this place. Confidence because thou hast sought us in Jesus Christ, and joy because we have been found in the Holy Spirit. We pray in particular this morning, our Father, for this little girl in her bout with sickness. And we pray for her father and mother and this family. We invoke thy blessings upon us as we gather here, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our responsive reading is selection 548. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying,
Crucify him.
Pilate said unto them, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A bowl full of vinegar stood there, so they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The last words of Jesus before his death, according to the Gospel of John, were, "It is finished." Throughout Christian history, disciples of Jesus Christ have made both too much and too little of this traumatic cry. An obvious meaning of these words is that Jesus is dying, and in fact does die immediately. Mark simply says, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last." Matthew echoes, "And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." Luke emphasizes the Father-Son relationship in the death of Jesus when he writes, "Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last." John's words, "It is finished," signify not only the physical death of Jesus, but also the completion of his mission to make available eternal life to believers in him. Too much has been made of the completed nature of the crucifixion of Jesus. His death is followed by burial, resurrection, appearances, ascension, Pentecost, and with his reign at the Father's right hand. His resurrected body bore the scars where his life's blood had drained down the cross tree. He carried his death with him to eternity, where it serves as the ground for the reconciliation of humanity and all of creation. A popular interpretation of these words, "It is finished," emphasizes the idea that Jesus has done all of our suffering for us. His crucifixion is a closed event on our behalf, an event to which we relate only by memory. This view has separated us from the New Testament interpretation of the crucifixion and from the realities of human history. As we approach this time of the Christian year, I ask you to consider the unfinished crucifixion. Good Friday was not so good to Jesus. His death may or may not be so good for us. Let us consider three ways in which the crucifixion is unfinished. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" The first unfinished dimension of the crucifixion, therefore, is the personal one in which every Christian participates in Jesus' death for man's salvation. If the crucifixion were not open-ended and continuous as more than mere memory, we could not actually die in Christ Jesus. Personal participation in Jesus' death goes beyond the beginning of the Christian life and accompanies him all along the journey. Paul says of himself, "I have been crucified with Christ," and again, "But be it far from me the glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And furthermore, that I may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death." Although Jesus died epaphos, once for all, his crucifixion is open to the future for our involvement in it, not for judgment, but for salvation. Thank God that the death of Jesus not only included me then, but also includes me now. The second dimension of the unfinished crucifixion involves the body of Christ, the church. From Pentecost onward, Christians were persecuted, and they suffered and died. Paul declared, I complete what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. In Romans 8:17, Paul stresses that we are fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him. Ignatius of Antioch and Polycarp are examples of Christian martyrs who interpreted martyrdom as participation in the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. How unlike Paul and other Christian martyrs we are today. The power of positive thinking brand of Christianity frequently has interpreted death and suffering as that which should be avoided at all costs. The third dimension of the unfinished crucifixion involves the presence of evil alive and kicking in human history. The crucifixion of Jesus defeated the devil, but it did not kill him. The author of 1 John says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Paul insists that he, that is God, disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. In Ephesians, he observed, for we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. No responsible reading of the natural order and man's history can teach a view of the crucifixion which means that evil is dead. The Christus Victor theory of the atonement cannot stand alone in face of the evidence of wickedness since the death of Jesus Christ. We have learned to live with a finished crucifixion. Brothers and sisters, what shall we do with an unfinished crucifixion? Thank God for it. Participate in it and anticipate the completion of it. Paul points the way by saying, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Perhaps you have read the book or seen the movie titled The Agony and the Ecstasy. The personal struggle between Pope Julius II and Michelangelo related to the painting of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel revealed something of God's way with history to both of these men. Time and again, Julius demands, when will you make an end of it? And Michelangelo firmly replies, when it is finished. We too are struck with the suffering and death of the innocent and the success of the wicked. And like Julius, we demand of God, when will you make an end of it? His answer is being given in the drama of salvation history through Jesus Christ and his church to us. When it is finished. The crucifixion is God's message that it will be finished, completed, for those who begin beneath the cross of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.